let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing some song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for watching over us and keeping us. And Lord, for your long-suffering and patience, for your mercy as well, Lord, for even though Norman had a bit of a tumble, for just, Lord, for looking after him. I pray, Lord, that you would enable Lynn's house to get sorted out in good time. And I'll see Monica safely home, Colin too, Lord, just preserve that young fellow's life. And we thank you, Father, that Steve seems to be coming round from the gallstone attack. And I pray you too for Pat, Lord. For Monica's mom, as she travels. For Monica's mom, as she seems to be picking up a little bit. For Monica, as she travels in a couple of weeks' time. And Lord, for ourselves and for the rest of our brethren, wherever it is in my day, Lord, I pray for your good hand upon each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. I thank you, Lord, just for being there for us and for having an open ear for us. Please bless this time in your house, Lord. And Father, please minister to us and find our prayers and praises and preaching and teaching and tithes and offerings and fellowship and time, Lord, acceptable in your sight. We really do need you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we don't have to know what it is that you have done for us. Please bless this time. And we ask it in the name of your Son of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start in the wee book this morning. Amen. We'll start with number 5, The Lord is My Shepherd. Oh, I haven't even looked at this, and that's how much behind the times we are. Number 13. And we'll bring a rendition of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Guide me, O thy great shepherd.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye know him, at him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and love the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that anarchists shall come. Even now there are many anarchists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same bounty teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen.
Some good verses there, okay? That was a Lewis and Wilson production.
Yep.
Some excellent verses there. Amen. Amen. Just want to remind you all about our list of prayer requests. Does anybody have any to add to? Mine looks like chickens or spiders ran across it for all the notes that are and the changes that are down, but these will be kept and added to the updated prayer list. So, anybody got anything? That's good news. All good, Lynn? We're still praying for your house. I was walking down here this morning at 7:30, and I was just praying for everybody, Lynn and Dr. Shine and Frank, and the house and work. So I hope and pray everything goes smoothly. Pray for me. I think I have a wee touch of pancreatitis this past week or two. It was just knocking me off my game, but it passes with a few days of rest and eating sensibly. So I appreciate your prayers for that. I think when my dad was down, there was a bit more mature cheddar eaten than normally would be eaten, and that's probably the kiss of death. And there were one or two pieces of creamy Swiss roll, so that's always a bad idea. But I only had a bite, and I scooped the cream out and gave it to my dad. So honest, it was okay. That should be a free pass. Pray for Norman. He had a fall in the middle of the night at the bottom of the stairs. He's okay. He's here. But pray for Norman. Amen. Don't forget, Will, Christine, and Marianne. Pray for Colin Steve and Pat. Good news for Steve and Pat, that would be under thanks. Steve has moved from 3 days of dialysis in the week to 2 days of dialysis in the week. And even on the first week of doing that, they still could not take as much liquid out of his body as they used to. So his kidneys are starting to work. So I'm glad that's an answer to prayer, or thank you. So please do continue to pray for him. I'm hoping to be out of hospital on Tuesday. I think that's about that, unless there's anything else, is it? Nope. Monica's mom has picked up a little bit. She has to be able to walk before she can be referred to or another doctor will see her. It's something to do with ticking boxes on medical insurance forms. So she looked to be doing a bit better in the hospital bed. She's still not great. We'd appreciate your prayers. Amen. Speaking of prayers, Will, would you mind leading us in a wee word there if you would, too?
And Father, I just say, Lord, thank you for giving us the facilities to come into your house today, Lord. Remember our absent brother, Lord, give them also, Lord. Give us this church, Lord, give us a message from on high, Lord. And give us your power, and give us your mercy, and give us a sermon from your servant, Mark, Lord. Give us the Holy Spirit, Lord, bless us, and give us, and give us a blessing to heaven, and so to represent it. And we lose the commitment, Lord. But Frank, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord. From this work, we keep safe and well, Lord. Give a nice house, Lord, help the decorators, finish decorators, come and work up to perfection, Lord. Give them the wisdom, give them the mind to do a good work, Lord, as well, Lord. Give Dr. Shine as well, best to keep him safe and well. Also, remember, call, Lord, wherever it is, deliver the friends, mm-hmm. Lord, sit, put a ring of fire around him, protect him, mind, body, and spirit, Lord, and draw a close walk to you as well, Lord. See if him, man, spirit, and it's just a fine time, move him, keep him, move. We are also mindful of Pat and Steve, Lord. Give Pat some respite, give him strength, Lord, and security and peace of mind, Lord. But also give Steve, Lord, help him mightily and powerful, Lord. Help him kidneys to work, Lord. Give him strength, Lord, and help him and help through the hospital procedures as well, Lord. And keep him safe and well, Lord. And draw closer walk with him, keep him safe and well. With Pat here, Lord, help her mightily and powerful, Lord. Strengthener, healer, and be with her, be at her bedside, and keep her safe and well, Lord. And draw her close walk for you, keep her well, Lord. With Monica as well, Lord, keep her safe and well, Lord. Help her, Lord, bring us back to Northern Ireland again as well, Lord. With each and every one of us, Lord, and Cecil Safe member out in Clay Terrace, Lord, Cecil Safe there. That's about everywhere in the track, Lord. Also with Barney Schools up to Crescent Lake, Lord. And touch this prayer, Lord, and use it to touch the souls of those that are lost, Lord, and also to rectify and strengthen those who are saved souls as well, Lord. Give us the table, give us the case, and give Mark an option with this prayer, Lord, and we can maybe give us a message to the sermon. Jesus Christ, again, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are going to be in hymn number 16 in the wee black books. Hymn number 16 is He Lifted Me. We'll just remain seated this time for this one. Hymn number 16, wee black books, He Lifted Me.
But when I took him at his word, by giving living me from sinking sand, lifted me with tender hand, he lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. His bride was pierced with many a thorn, his hands like wood, though veils were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Now on a high hill I dwell, and with my soul I know his well. Yet hard or why I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
Amen. We are going to change your books for the second last song of the service to number 66 in our big hymn books. The hymn books are bigger on the right, this one's smaller. And we're going to stand as we sing and then we will be opening our Bibles. Hymn number 66, let's stand as we sing that hymn.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon that was often mine to me. There my burden sold my liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned. Till my guilty soul in glory turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was more than my to me. There my burden soul find liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty love that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was nothing my to me. There my burden soul for liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Ah, my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Hard and heaven's often right to me. Then my burdened soul find liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Let's be seated. We'd open our Bibles at Luke chapter 4 this morning if you'd like to take them from there. We'll open at Luke chapter 4. And I'd like to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of it's what I do. It's what I do. From Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 4 begins in a somewhat similar vein. I hope and pray that this will be a help to you. Amen. Monica sends her regards and best wishes. She appreciates all of your prayers and kind thoughts. She's looking forward to being back, even though it's going to be another 2 weeks and a day before she leaves. Please keep praying for her. And I would pray that you would ask the Lord for wisdom for me in finding out how the taps and the fairy liquid and stuff work up with us. Amen, I'll be grand. I just have to dust off my old notebook of how to keep a house. Amen. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Word of God says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Those last four verses are our text for this morning, and we'd like to think on the subject for a little while of it is, it's what I do. It's what I do, or it's what I came to do. Have another quick word of prayer, and then we begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank the Lord again for this time that has been set aside. I thank the Lord for each of the heads that are bowed in your presence. And I pray, Father, a blessing upon all those, Lord, that love you and just desire to do your will. Pray for Carol and John, and Stephen, for Monica, for Pat and Steve, for Colin, for Frank, for Christine and Marianne, for Dr. Shane. Lord, for our loved ones that don't yet know you as Saviour, pray especially even now for my brother and his family. But Lord, most of all, we pray your presence with us. I pray for the words to speak and for your good hand upon each one of us as we take this time in your word this morning. Lord, please, Lord, bless us and keep us. And we love you and thank you, Father. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can't read these verses in Luke and Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 then is the Beatitudes, and this is pretty much a retelling of Matthew chapter 4 and the temptation of Christ, although there are one or two things that we would really need to pay particular attention to. But this is before the ministry of the Lord started. Obviously, the Lord has related this to the disciples, or some of them have actually been there. And it talks about the three temptations of the Lord. He's 40 days fasting, meditating in the desert, and then at the end of that, at a physical low ebb, and let's be honest, whenever you're physically not at your best, your mind can be drawn down as well. The devil comes tempting. And the first thing that he does, he tries to corral him into a very narrow way of thinking. And he does it twice. He says, if thou be the Son of God. In other words, you claim to be God. If you're God, you have to do this. That's like saying, oh, if you're a Christian, then you have to do this. And sometimes you have to just take a step back. The battle isn't to be fought where the devil draws his lines. He draws his lines where you and I are at our weakest or at a disadvantage. We need to take a step back and look at the big picture. We know in the first instance that the Lord's body would have been craving food. Right? There's not many people can do 40 days without food. The Lord is one of them. We know from our unfortunate history here, it had very detrimental effects on the hunger strikers. A number of them died and went blind and very, very ill before they. But at this particular time, the devil comes tempting him when he should be at a low ebb and ready to give in and just snap his fingers and turn the stones into bread. And the Lord takes his attempt to overcome him using his physical weakness and appeals immediately to the scripture, replies to him with the scripture. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, saying there are two parts to that part of our lives. Yes, we need actual food for our physical bodies, physical food, but we also need spiritual food, food for our minds, food for our spirits, if you want to put it, or our souls. Because as Peter said, where else would we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This is where we need to be. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the word of God, of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God and the salvation. So the devil tries tempting the Lord again, and he takes him up onto a high mountain, and he shows him all the glory and the kingdoms of the world. And I want to draw your attention to a little line in verse number 6 where it says, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it.
other words, the God of this world is quite literally the God of this world. And whenever you choose to do the right thing, to do what God says, immediately you're going against the flow pretty much of the entire world. Now, all of these things belong to Christ already, and here the devil comes offering a shortcut. He says, if you do things my way, if you call me your boss, I'll give you these things right away. And we know from reading the Bible that the Lord is coming back and he is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And that means the law. In the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible and any other commands that are in the Bible will be the law, and if you break them, you're in trouble. There will be death penalties handed out for the things that people do that they seem to get away with right now. The devil came offering a shortcut. And if the Lord had accepted that, we wouldn't be saved. He wouldn't have been able to give his life on the cross of Calvary, because instead of being the one put upon and imprisoned falsely by the authorities, he would have been the authority. And we wouldn't have been saved. When the devil comes asking a shortcut, there is something that he is trying to get you to miss out on. A little bit of life experience, a very valuable Bible lesson, a job that only you can do that will make a world of difference in somebody's life. So don't ever accept the shortcuts of the devil. I don't know if anybody ever said it, but there's no shortcut to being fit. There's no shortcut to putting a building up. Things have to be done in a proper order. And the Lord is coming back to reign, but he came to give his life on the cross first. Lastly, he said again, if thou be the Son of God, in other words, calling into question, if you don't do this, then you're not the Son of God. And if you are the Son of God, then this is the only thing you can do. And you're best not to try and meet the devil where he wants to be met. And he says, throw yourself off the top of the temple, and the angels will catch you on the way down, and people will see that you are the Son of God, and they will worship you because they'll be afraid of you. But that's not the God that we worship. Yes, he is the God of love, but he is also the God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. He is a God of wrath and forgiveness. So many facets to God, we reflect them. Because let's be honest, for different situations, we have to behave differently. I am sure when Norman had a stumble on the stairs last night, the only person he was saying you stupid idiot to was himself. How could I miss that? You idiot! I'll get that light fixed. And he was maybe a bit angry. Glad that there was nobody else there to see it. And if there had been, he would have felt embarrassed. If someone had been kicking his door in at the time and he'd launched himself off of the top of the stairs at them, he would have been angry, and rightly so. We have different feelings, different attributes to our character, and God has too. All of those things someday will be God, and we will see his glory, and people will rightly fear him. But he came to forgive. He came to save. He came as a loving, sacrificial, giving God. And if people saw him, they'd all be cozying up to him, saying, oh, we love you, God, because you can do this, and we have seen your power, and we know that the angels obey you, so we're afraid of you, so we're going to obey you. But there wouldn't be too many people that would love him and trust him. So this is what the Lord said, look, don't do things expecting God to pull your fat out of the fire. And that would even go a long way towards our Christian living. Look, as a Christian, don't be smoking thinking that God is going to spare you from lung cancer. That's not going to happen. You're more likely to get lung cancer if you keep going on in your sin. Don't be drinking thinking God is going to deliver you from cirrhosis of the liver or stomach problems or a brain problem. Don't be doing that. God's not going to do that. You're on your own when you set out into sin as a Christian. So anyway, after this temptation of God, and look at the time, my goodness, my apologies, we come to the reason for Christ's
appearing here on the earth. And those verses are powerful. And a lot of people take, and when they read the Bible, they think, that was a book that was written, finished about just under 2,000 years ago, and doesn't really apply to today. But friends, I've got to tell you, the things that we're going to look at very, very shortly have never been needed more than right now. Verses 18, 19, and 20, the Lord, after the temptation, after he got a bite of food, after he was refreshed, he went into the synagogue and he opened the Bible. He wasn't reading anything untoward. He wasn't preaching a false gospel. He just started reading out of Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And it was, because do you remember John saying that the Lord said to John, you'll see the Spirit descend upon him like a dove, the Spirit of God. He is anointed by God. He is the anointed one, the special one, the designated one. And this is what he came to do. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Not necessarily the financially poor, but those that realize they're in bad shape in their souls. Now, the Bible said that the common man received God gladly. No errors and graces, no delusions of grandeur, but just knew the way things were and knew that they had a soul and saw the way people behaved and understood that there were some things were bad and some things were good because they had read their Bible. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Beatitudes say. We need to hear the gospel. Because whether rich or poor, the Bible says over and over, the Word of God records that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all, like sheep gone astray, were morally and spiritually bankrupt. We are poor and we need the gospel, the good news of God. And the good news of God is that we can be saved, that we can have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is the gospel that God loves us. And even for all of the things that we have done, God is prepared to forgive us, just to let it go. I think it says in one of the Old Testament, somewhere in the Old Testament, it says he'll put all our sins in a bag and throw them over his shoulder, completely out of his sight and away into a sea of forgetfulness. That's what Jesus came to do, to preach the gospel to those that knew they had a great need, the need for Christ in their lives, a need for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I was reminded, does anyone remember the account of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16? Lazarus had nothing except the Lord, and he went to heaven. The rich man, he fixed his whole raison d'etre upon having stuff and things and completely forgot about the Lord, and he ended up in heaven. Rich or poor, you can go to heaven, but it's the same salvation that saves everybody. You must be born again. As we read on, the next one says that God has come to heal the brokenhearted. I don't know about you, but have you ever heard of the account of, who was it, Edison or whomever, invented the light bulb? And whenever it was invented, it was marvelous, and it seemed to break upon the face of the world like a modern day epiphany for every man and every woman and every child. But whenever you look a little bit more into it, I think there were something like 800 or more previous iterations, previous attempts to make a light bulb. Now, you or I would have just said, my goodness. And we would have thrown our hands up and we would have walked away. Or you might even have said, you know, my heart's broke with that. I don't want to go any further. I'm sure we thought the same thing many times as we were working our way around the church. We have to do it again. And then we have to do it again. Always thinking as we pulled off another panel. Maybe we'll get two or three yards without having to tear off the wall, but off we were again. Now, it pays not to be brokenhearted, but people can get brokenhearted whenever they try. So I feel the need for something in my heart, and because they're not in church, or they never, mom and dad never sent them to Sunday school, or they refuse to open the Bible, and let a little bit of that power make a whole lot of difference in their life, they don't understand they need Christ. And their hearts are broke trying everything else. There is a hole in our heart that only the Holy Spirit, that only God Almighty can fill. And that's the bit that it says in Jeremiah, that's the depths of what that our heart can reach down to. Our goodness, it says where our heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? But when that is filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do amazing things. We know that a lot of people try a lot of stuff. Like, the world is coming apart at the seams with people trying lots of different things. And it always seems to work for a tiny little space of time. And then it wears off again. That's not what God offers. He offers the healing of the broken heart, the trusting in Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For that soul, the repentance of their sin and trust in Christ alone for salvation is enough to heal. The next thing he said was, I came to deliver the captives. And you might be thinking, the Jewish people were clapping their hands and they just spent how many decades under the jackboot of the Roman Empire? Great! Jesus is coming to set us free! Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus was talking about all of the things that we are in bondage to. All of the things, you know, when you're going through a day, I know. Use your phone whatever way you like. This is the way I use my phone. Whenever I am doing something, I am doing something. I am doing that thing. I'm not waiting for my phone to ping. I'm not waiting for an alert. I'm not waiting for those things. I don't sit looking at it like that, waiting for a notification on my phone to give my life meaning. But a lot of people are. So much so, in fact, you see people walking and in the town, looking at their phone instead of paying attention. They're in bondage to a little square of plastic and liquid crystal and who knows what else, and an ounce or two of lithium. But there are other things that people are in bondage to. You're talking about drugs, alcohol, smoking, physical encounters with, I was going to say members of the opposite sex, but with anybody these days. With the TV, with entertainment, or the most up-to-date gadget. Sometimes people just live for these things. And there's an immense high when they get what they want, and then there are immense lows whilst they wait for the next one. They're in bondage. And the Bible says that in John 8, when you trust God, God can set you free from those things, regardless of what it is, because he has something so much greater than what the world can offer. He can make you a new creature, a creature with the old things passed away, your old appetites, and all things have become new. Being able to look at everything with new eyes, with fresh eyes. And more than that's actually God's job, seeking and saving the lost. And let's be honest, if you think about it, that's what everyone in the world tries to do. They try to save their soul. They try to do the thing that satisfies their soul. But only Jesus can do that. And if you don't turn to the Lord, it's never going to happen. One of the other things that the Lord said he came to do was to restore sight to the blind. And if you think about it for a moment and listen to what's going on in the world today, you will understand that what people are being told is a blatant lie. It's about our children. That reminds me, Christine gave me a handful of cards. It's about the teaching that is coming into primary schools and secondary schools about how that abortion is an acceptable form of birth control. It's just natural. And all of these other LGBTs. Foul and unhealthy physically and mentally practices that have been killing people for years and costing society a fortune We're telling children that they're okay. In fact, more than that, we're telling them that if they don't indulge in them, there's something wrong with them. So please do remember that. But if you think about it, a lot of people can't see that. All they see is what they're being told, and they forget about the Bible. In fact, there are people in churches that think exactly what the world tells them. And I'll refer back to a church that one of Monica's acquaintances is associated with. And they get all upset whenever Roe v. Wade was overturned. That is, that the control of abortion services, I hate that, murder services in individual states is no longer the federal government's but local states' authority. And some of them have banned it. There's no abortion in their states. And that's good news. Some churches get upset about not being able to kill their children. There's something wrong there. And unless you're looking at the world through what God says, you'll never see that. You'll never see it. You'll listen to the government as they tell you a lie. You will listen to the health services as they tell you a lie. You will listen to the schools as they tell you a lie. The media is telling you lies. Whenever you look at things through God's eyes, you will see things properly. You will see there was a creation, that there is sin. Thankfully, there is a great salvation. All the examples of Christ and his life from the Old Testament right through to the New. Biblical history coming to pass, and prophetic history, if that's the right word, coming to pass in front of us now. Even the coming of the Messiah in the New Testament was prophesied for thousands of years, and the countdown was set in the book of Nehemiah, 460-something years until the Lord would come back. And one of my favorites, the parables. Parables are not just nice stories with a little warm and fuzzy feel-good message on them. The parables actually tell us the way things are going to be. Salvation, the desire for God to have us saved, and the judgment that is coming, all of those things are there. And even we see as we read the Bible, God's promises to each one of us, personal promises. God will help you to see things right. To understand that every life is a life and every life has a soul. We're not just a cluster of cells. It's not just what the world would tell you. The next comment that the Lord made was that he came to set at liberty those that were bruised. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. I remember when I was still in primary school, so under 11 years old, I would have hopped on a little bike, cycled for 5 or 6 miles to my school from the far end of Portadown right the way up to the Hart Memorial School to do a cycling proficiency test, and cycled the whole way home again and never thought a thing about it. Mum and Dad weren't worried. I wasn't looking out for paedophiles or child abductors or child traffickers. That's 45 years ago. I remember even as a young man in my late teens, cycling home from Craigavon in the pitch black at 11 o'clock at night. Nobody concerned about me. But I know in the years since, a lot of people have been hurt physically and mentally and spiritually by people and events in this world. It's going to happen. And sometimes people just get, as they say, the rough edges rubbed off. My dad was always a great man for talking with people and learning and experiencing the world. And he sent me to work in my uncle's hotel. And I loved it so much, I went back 7 times. And he said, "You'll get your rough edges rubbed off." And I did. I learned to accommodate other people being in the service industry. Hey, I never left it. I'm still there. But a lot of people got hurt. There were wee girls that had illegitimate children. There were people that were injured coming home after a night's drink, and there were marriages that broke up, all because of the pub. There are people that get beaten up. There are people that get murdered. There are people that kill. There are people that have to wake up every day with the thoughts of a child given up to abortion, or someone that they have killed their face forever in front of them, or the effect that broken relationships or broken health or broken family has on a person. They injure us. And God came to say, look, no matter what you have done, and no matter what has been done to you, no matter the marks, the scars, the injuries that has inflicted upon you, I still love you. You're precious in my sight. And if you trust in me, yes, there might be a scar left on you in this world, but I will take the pain away. That's the promise of God. He will set you free. He will nurse you back to health. Put your faith in. The last thing that he said was to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I know, to tell you, friends, people don't like to think about it, but there are consequences to actions. These are the days of blaming somebody else for all of our wrongdoing. The Lord is coming back. And someday we're going to have to stand in front of him. Everyone's going to have to stand in front of him. And the Lord's going to say, well, start talking. What did you do? Why should I let you into heaven? People are going to say, well, Lord, I did this for my neighbors. I did that for my neighbors. And the Lord will say, that's natural love and affection. You're supposed to do that and help your neighbors out. I was faithful to my spouse. You're supposed to be faithful to your spouse. I help little old ladies across the road. You're supposed to. I raised my, whether they wanted to go or not, I raised my kids right. You're supposed to. What did you do to pay for sins? I've got nothing, Lord. The Lord's going to say, well, depart from me, you cursed one, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He's also going to ask the same thing to Christians, and Christians will say, well, and this is an illustration only, Christians will say, well, Lord, the only reason you should let me in is because your son saved my soul and I trusted him. They said, good for you. You're in. But tell me what you did with your life whenever you were down on earth. And people are going to say, well, Lord, I was faithful in church. Good for you. I put my tithes in. Good. I went out and told people the gospel. Good. I talked to you a lot, and I appreciate all your help during the years, he says, and I love to hear from you, son or daughter. And all of the things that you did for Christ, Christ's going to say, good. Those are works of gold and silver and precious stones, and they will endure for the endless ages of eternity. Every soul that ever received the word of God from you, that can never be taken away from you. Well, I also did X, Y, and Z, and the Lord would say, well, all that stuff was just nonsense and just a waste of time. And you say, yeah, I know, I enjoyed doing it at the time. It didn't harm anybody. It was just a hobby. He says, well, those were works of wood, hay, and stubble. They're no use in the endless ages of eternity, and they're gone. You say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want for folks. I want people to meet God not as an enemy, not as a judge, not as jury, not as executioner, but as Savior, Lord, and friend. And we all need to be aware that someday we will answer for the lives that we have lived. I think 2 Peter chapter 3 summed it up very, very well. Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, it says in verse 11. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So live life accordingly. Now the Lord said one more thing, and we're closing with this wee thought. He said, this day,
is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And it's been fulfilled ever since. Because every soul that has ever been saved from that day to this, and every soul that ever will be saved until there's, well, until time is no more, has been having those things made available to them. And all that it takes is to be saved, to repent of your sins and trust Him as your Savior. The Lord will save anybody that comes to Him and never turn them away, never cast them out, never be done with them. No matter what, you are loved and valued by the God that gave His life on the cross for you. That's what He came to do. It wasn't just to save us for the endless ages of eternity, but it was to give us good lives right here and now. Did He not say to the scribes and the Pharisees, "You give good gifts to your children. How much more do you think your Father in heaven will give good gifts to His children?" And He said, "Everything will work out for the best when you get saved and when you do what God asks you to do." That's what He came to do. And He's still doing it. And He'll do it for you too. All you have to do is put God first and do things His way. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Does anybody have a closing hymn they'd like for us all to sing? If not, I have one or two. Sounds good to me. Number 11 in the wee black books. If you'd like to stand with me and we'll sing "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise." Service will be a help to you. Don't forget our prayer requests and don't forget each other. And one other thing that I would ask you to do is pray for our family. My brother's family, his wife has gone seeking the services of a white witch. So please do pray about that. That is not something that is good to have any influence or substance of in your life at all. So please pray for that. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for watching over us and this little bit of time we set aside. Please bless, Lord, the lifting up of the Psalms, Father. Please, Lord, I pray that you know each one of our hearts and our minds. And I just pray, Father, please, that you would meet our needs. And our absent brethren, those that have stepped away and fallen down, for all those, Lord, that are out there that have trusted you as Saviour, I pray now, Lord, that they would trust you as Lord day by day. Bless us as we go our separate ways and bring us back at the next appointed time, Father, we pray. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen.